When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, this is Dr. Drew, and you are listening to This Life
with Bob Forrest
and Dr. Drew.
Here we are. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, gather around the campfire, the fireplace. Turn your radio dial down.
Whatever, Bob.
1920s, like they used to do with the Borax commercials.
Oh, I see.
You know, it's sponsored by Borax.
Or Fab with lemon freshened Borax. That's right. It's This Life, and we are going to get into some deep weeds today. We brought our friend Bruce Heischober back.
We're going to get into deep trouble, and I'm ready for it.
No.
I just want to say, when politicians release their medical records, who the fuck do they think is going to read it?
Not me. Not just read it, but interpret it.
Yeah.
And Bruce, the what drives me crazy is watching journalists trying to interpret the medical records that are released.
And watching journalists second-guess physicians.
Second-guess physicians, but from a... I wouldn't mind that if they had some reasonable fund of knowledge, which they're right. Operating. They're just complete nonsense, they usually discuss.
Right.
And then when physicians come in and try to interpret the actual material that's being formally presented by the teams... Somehow that's a violation of everyone's sensibilities.
Right.
Which is weird, right?
Well, I'm sure we'll get into it, but when I saw a certain near syncopal episode, I jumped up and my ER persona came on and I was thinking, wow, let's get the gurney and call the ambulance and we got to hook them up.
That's what you would normally do, Bob.
A little shock.
When somebody passes out, mm-hmm. You lay them down. You don't pull them up and drag them into a car. You lay them down and you take them to somebody like Bruce in the emergency room. But anyway, we're calling this episode The Elephant and the Donkey in the Room.
There they are.
And we are going to discuss really just not so much the individual cases, but the medical issues that have been presented to the public pertaining to the various political candidates.
Let me just start by saying, you told me something 10 years ago when Lee Bloom was sick, right?
Yeah.
That there are thousands of things that can be happening. Your body is telling you it, right?
Right.
That you could pass away instantly, like my mother did a couple six weeks ago. See, now
that wasn't so right? instantly,
but it was building. There was a lot of warning signs, right? Yes. What laymen like myself don't understand is there are like plaque building up in your arteries, right?
Okay.
That you can have a stroke.
Yeah,
nobody thinks like as long as I'm healthy, as long as I'm eating good, as long as I'm out and about like the candidates are, people want to believe that nothing can happen to them.
Not only that, there is even earlier stage phenomenon. Like I've got metabolic syndrome, right? And so I have hypertension. I have my body fat goes right here. I have hyperlipidemia, and I was trying to fight it back with lifestyle, with exercise and diet, which is what you do. But every time I went in for a physical, my blood pressure was up. I go, I just was in total denial.
Right.
Finally, one physician looked at me and said, you know, you can only outrun your genetics so long.
I thought,
oh my God, of course. I mean, at a certain point, we're just older than we're supposed to be. We live longer than we're supposed to as human biological agents. And in order to sustain our life as much, much longer than it's supposed to be, you have to reverse or prevent each one of these processes.
Zero in on that.
Okay.
Bruce, do you agree with what he said?
No, absolutely.
That human beings are living longer than their biology is supposed, because you helped me understand my spine. I'm not supposed to be alive right now, so that my back's going to hurt.
Right.
Correct?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
That's public needs to know this, how lucky they are to be 67 and 72 and 78.
One of my favorite little pieces of television was in the TV show The Nick, which was about a hospital in the 1900s. And the first episode, he's giving a eulogy, and he goes, at the turn of the century, an average male born today can expect to live to the age of 47. and we don't understand that we are living way, and people, live to 110. Listen, go look at some 95-year-olds sometimes and see if you want to live 20 years like that.
Yeah.
And there's an aging process that we can't really do anything about yet. We might be able to dial back a little bit one day, though.
Right.
The problem is whenever you – I think that – well, we're getting way
off topic.
Well,
the rage is age management.
We're not getting
medicine.
Off topic, yeah. Because we have two elderly people running for president. Yeah. I have never liked that. I like – whether you like Obama or not, I certainly like that he's my age,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
instead of Reagan's age.
Yeah,
Reagan, I think, got demented towards the end.
Oh, for sure.
Well, nobody was talking about it because doctors aren't allowed to comment on the president's health, right?
Yeah, it's a tradition, though.
Goes back to Wilson, who was essentially brain.
His wife was
running the show. Yeah, he was stroked out.
Yeah.
He couldn't speak. For like 8 months or something, right?
Right.
And this is common knowledge that the president was stroked out and his wife was running the country.
Well, she's...
So Hillary would not be the first woman president.
Well said, Bob.
That's
interesting.
Exactly right.
But she hid it from the cabinets and stuff and from everybody and would literally like pose with him all sort of propped up and she would do all the decision making.
And
right?
So when you go back to the earlier, your favorite, Abraham Lincoln, how healthy was he?
He may have had Marfan syndrome. He definitely
had depression, right?
Well, he definitely had depression. He might have been bipolar, but here's a piece that is not well publicized and has not gotten into the historical lexicon quite yet. There's a guy who wrote a book called The Lincoln Marriage, and in there he uncovered a whole long series of communications between Abraham Lincoln and his doctor. It started back in Springfield before he was married. He had some sort of indiscretion where he became convinced he had syphilis. And so that doctor put him on mercury.
Oh.
And he kept him on the mercury all the way into the White House. You know what one of the big side effects of mercury is?
What?
Depression.
Right.
Oh, there you go.
So there you go. So, interesting.
All right. So what you guys have read of the two candidates, I'm not going to guess who's healthier, but I would say they're both probably unhealthy, right?
No.
Not the vitality they want us to believe they are.
They could be healthier for sure, but let's go down let's stop talking about the individuals and start talking about the medical things that are being pushed out in the press. For instance, the latest thing is Hillary had a syncope episode, described, which is a fainting episode. It was a witnessed faint. You can either if it witnessed or unwitnessed. Her case, it was witnessed. What do you do when somebody has a syncope episode as an ER doctor?
Put them on a monitor. First of all,
cardiac monitor.
Cardiac monitor, oxygen sensor, IV, blood work, possibly a CAT scan, though they're low yield. Chest X-ray, EKG. Make sure they're not
overnight.
Well, it depends. We were having that discussion in the ER this morning. So,
well, now but allegedly,
with her history, though, yes,
that's what I was going to say. According to her husband, she has a history of fainting, and if that's true, that's something called swooning or vasovagal reactions. You still with me, Bob? Stay with
swooning,
us.
Swooning, I've swooned over many a gal.
Okay,
I know that.
Right. Well, if she actually plots as a result of you, that would be real swooning. And vasovagal reactions are just sort of a
evolutionary mechanism to get you horizontal, so that you're protected. Your brain.
Now, so those are not dangerous. If you knew somebody...
Wait. He needs to say that slower because I caught on to it way afterwards.
Okay, go ahead.
Your body falls over so the blood will get to your brain.
Yes.
Your pulse drops. You pass out.
And that's because your blood isn't pumping good through your body?
For whatever reason, some people see blood. It's just, it's a brainstem response.
It's the...
You're both looking at me like I'm the dumbest person.
No. We need to... No, it's the sensors in your neck, one of the areas we think maybe, and the way the heart sort of communicates with the vagus nerve. So it's a predilection.
Right.
In her case, her blood pressure runs low. We heard it was 100 over 70. Yep. And so she may have these things. Now, if you're sick from any cause, you might have more of these.
Pneumonia.
Okay, so now we hear about something called right middle lobe pneumonia. What is when you hear a 70-year-old patient, male or female, comes in with a right middle lobe pneumonia?
Aspiration.
You think aspiration first?
Well, I think of that.
No, we don't know any history. We just got somebody coming in the door with a right middle lobe pneumonia. What are the top three causes of right middle lobe pneumonia?
Strep.
Really?
Well, the top three causes? I don't know.
We should look this up.
Yeah.
Because right middle lobe for an entire...
What's strep? Everybody says they got strep throat. What's strep, really?
Streptococcus. It's just
what
a strep
pneumonia.
It?
Pneumococcal. It's a bacteria. Pneumococcal pneumonia.
It's a common gram-positive organism.
Okay.
It's bacteria. It's in the soil. It's everywhere. Its staff is around us. We live with it all the time. But it can get into our tissue and cause infection, certain strep. And there's many different strep types.
70-year-old female... I don't know. Go ahead.
Well,
what do you think?
I don't know. I would worry. I would I might treat her as it as a community acquired pneumonia, which is mycoplasma or chlamydia or virus, right?
Right.
And that, you know,
well, even if it's some other bacteria, if it's community acquired, you're not worried about resistant strains, so that's fine. But in her case, again, right middle lobe, if it's isolated, you get a chest X-ray, you see an infiltrate, but how do you know it's not an infarct? How do you know it's not something else?
Or how do you know it's not cancer? Or cancer. That's the other thing. Right middle lobe pneumonia infiltrates are commonly.
Right. Something blocking the bronchus. The lymph nodes are more prominent there, more commonly.
So when an internist sees a right middle lobe pneumonia, they go, uh-oh. First thing we go is, oh, crap.
Yeah.
Now, if there's a neurological history where people have some issues with swallowing, then you think aspiration.
Right.
But you have to have a certain anatomical sort of proclivity for that, because most people, when they aspirate, it goes to the right lower lobe. But some people have a takeoff of the right middle lobe in such a way that whatever you swallow, whatever goes down the windpipe, goes down the wrong pipe, can get into that right middle lobe. And
drunks lying prone.
So you would have a history of bronchial infections and pneumonia? No.
Well, yes, you would. Yes, you have recurrences, then for sure. Right, yeah. Right middle, right lower lobe recurrences, you'd be looking at aspiration very hard. But if you have somebody with any kind of neurological history, you at least think about that, right? Yeah.
Let's switch. Yeah, I'm following that. Now let's switch gears to the other side. Because I look at the two candidates, what's hard is smoking, you can't know what the length of a natural biology is.
Right.
So Hillary's dad smoked, was Navy,
yeah.
Right? Died early, mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Mother lived a long, long time.
Yep. Well, she's living a long time.
Right? She's, yeah. Well, I mean, you're signing up for 8 years of high functioning.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Trump's dad's still alive, is he not?
No, I don't think so.
He died?
But he died in 93, I think.
Oh, he did.
Let's go back to the pneumonia real quick. How would you treat that right middle lobe pneumonia? You had no other sort of, you couldn't grow anything, you couldn't get any cultures, you couldn't see anything except, and let's say you knew it was somebody with a neurological history, but you weren't sure it was aspiration. How would you treat that? And by the way, the patient's on Coumadin.
Right. Well, Levaquin.
Would you use Levaquin?
Doxycycline. I use doxycycline myself.
For aspiration?
No, not for aspiration.
So how would you cover the aspiration?
You're assuming it's aspiration of a penicillin.
Right. Yeah. You use a beta-lactam. It's
great. Right.
And they put her on Levaquin, which does what to Coumadin?
Alters it significantly, right.
And puts her at risk for what?
Bleeding.
Where?
Then she falls in the brain.
Right. Which was very
and
troubling.
That was in original medical report?
No, that came out about a week or so ago. They put that out. But Levaquin is a great medicine, and you might use it for Zithromax for community acquired pneumonia too, right?
Right.
And if the patient on Coumadin, I'd be leaning towards Zithromax.
Right.
Why wouldn't you do what so many people do, which is stay on a drip of antibiotics?
Because you're not... go ahead. Huh?
Talking about discharging from the hospital.
Yeah.
But even taking a step back with her history, she's got some sort of hypercoagulable state. She's not on temporary Coumadin. She's on long-term, which is another issue. Why is she on long-term Coumadin versus a newer agent?
And apparently, they released part of the material that came out recently. They also said she's recently seen a hematologist, and they did a coagulation workup. Mm. And the hematologist, which is great, said stay on the Coumadin. I think the reason being is that the Eliquis and the Xarelto, which would be safer,
right.
Has only been approved for DVT and non-valvular atrial fibrillation.
Right,
it's not for the transverse sinus thrombosis, which is what we're going to talk about in a few minutes. See how complicated all this stuff is? And so when we worry about someone's health, it's like we're looking at the care.
Well, it used to be why there was important who the vice president was.
Why isn't there a third party evaluator, a physician, and then another group of physicians that explain all this to the public? So it's not this foolish journalist making nonsense out of it. And we're just scratching the surface here.
To be fair, I've seen Sanjay Gooch talk about it on CNN.
Listen.
I've seen the woman talk about it on Good Morning America. But it's always so dumbed down and simplified that they're totally okay. They're old people. What would Elvis call them? Like ancient people. people from ancient times.
But let's keep scratching on through. Let's switch over to Trump and some of his predilections, right?
He's a big boy.
His body mass index.
He's a big boy.
His body mass index.
He's 230, man.
What's his body weight? 35, 30?
I don't know the parameters off the top of my head.
236, I saw it.
But he's 6'3", so he's probably about 28 or 29, 30.
Easy.
Yeah, so he's obese in the obese care.
Right.
No, he's not. Come on. He's a little below obese, but he's a big boy. And that makes me nervous when 70-year-old big boys are out and about, not sleeping well, not eating well.
When my one of the reasons I have a 5-pound range in my weight. If I go 5 pounds up, I fall in the obese range.
Obese, yeah. Or overweight?
Obese. It's really weird. Obesity is, if you're big, you know, sort of large framed and stuff, it's easy to get into the
obesity. It doesn't take into account your muscle mass. So I'm 27 or 28, and I'm very upset about that. So let's get
back to him, because I'm not picking sides. You know, Hillary looks like a typical grandmother. Grandmother size, grandmother disposition. Trump looks like a guy 70 who's way out of shape trying to act like he's 45. And I don't like that. He doesn't sleep
much. He's hypomanic, and that's...
He doesn't sleep much. He's the one I'm scared would keel over.
Okay, so his body mass index is up.
But his cholesterol is very low.
Does the BMI by itself really predict anything?
No.
Okay. Take a break. Be right back after this. Hey, our sponsor this week is Bergamet. You can get Bergamet at Bergamet, BERGAMETNA.com. That is BergametNA.com. And we are joined this week by the ambassador to the bergamot fruit, Dr. James Ehrlich. Dr. Ehrlich, why don't you describe your medical history and training?
Well, I'm a clinical associate professor in the Division of Endocrinology at the University of Colorado. And initially, I was an anesthesiologist. And most of my career in the last 20 years has been involved in tests and technologies in the early detection of cardiovascular disease.
Let's put that in sort of layman or simple language. You're interested in preventing vascular disease, which is like heart disease and strokes, these sorts of things, and the metabolic conditions that can accelerate that or cause that. Would that be about accurate?
Exactly. Okay. Yeah, that's very accurate. I like that.
Yeah. And in the course of this, you were in sort of a traditional medical research background, and you came across Bergamet. Tell me about that.
Well, a friend of mine who's a preventive cardiologist in Australia, and is kind of like the Dr. Oz of Australia. He's got his own successful radio show and a lot of books out, alerted me to a fruit that only grows in southern Italy that he now has 5,000 patients on, and he uses it to decrease cardiometabolic risk factors. So he told me about it. I then went over to Italy to investigate this. I became part of the efforts to research this, and now I'm the ambassador to Bergamotto. Since 2013, I'm the director of research in the United States for this particular fruit, and there's a big research laboratory in Calabria, Italy, at the University of Catanzaro.
I'm not a supplement guy. I have to be really persuaded, and you exposed me to some of the research that was coming out of that institute, and it was really quite striking on many fronts. I've been persuaded. What would you say the benefits are of taking Bergamet?
Well, I think the main benefit is lowering what we call cardiometabolic risk. In other words, about 35% of us are affected by metabolic syndrome, which is considered the epidemic of the 21st century.
I got it.
It's basically you have a little bit of it. I think very little, probably, but that's my guess.
Well, little in the sense that I work hard to push it back, but I've got it for sure.
Yeah, and many of us have it in the standard way. We don't get enough exercise, or we eat poorly. And so expanding waistlines, elevated cholesterol, hypertension, and other types of factors of insulin resistance combine to cause this syndrome, which is now becoming the way most people get heart attacks, strokes, and diabetes. So this particular fruit, the bergamot fruit, our formulations are called Bergamet for the metabolic syndrome, which is this very dangerous condition that's extremely prevalent in the United States.
Now, in the past, you and I would probably treat that with exercise, diet, statins, cholesterol-lowering medications. Those are, by the way, all things I still do myself. But you're saying that Bergamet may delay the need for all that, or could be a good adjunct to that. Is that accurate?
Oh, I think it's an adjunct. I think proper lifestyle management is never substituted by either nutraceuticals, supplements, or drugs. I'm a strong believer in statins for people who can tolerate it, especially those who have plaque, which can be measured. And so I, for example, use Bergamet along with statins.
You yourself, I mean, you prescribe it that way?
Well, that's the way I use it personally.
Yeah, yeah. Me too. That's what I'm doing. That's actually what I'm doing.
But now I'm on twice a week statins, and then I take the Bergamet every day, and I get a nice complementary effect because Bergamet lowers blood sugar. Statins don't do that. In fact, statins are feared in a few people to raise blood sugar to the point of diabetes. And Bergamet raises HDL, the good cholesterol, much better than a statin. So I like the complementary effects, including lower of triglycerides quite substantially and decreasing visceral abdominal fat, the dangerous abdominal fat that's a very active endocrine organ causing heart disease and stroke.
How does bergamot do this? How does the polyphenol in the bergamot fruit do this?
Yeah, well, the bergamot fruit has a mixture of polyphenols. It's probably the most antioxidant polyphenol fruit on the planet. And some of these polyphenols are really HMG-CoA reductase inhibitors. That's a fancy word for statins. They're natural statins, but they don't have side effects. And some of them are called gut sterol inhibitors. They inhibit the absorption of cholesterol, like a drug called Zetia. And then a few of them are AMP kinase activators, like metformin, that both decrease visceral fat and drive blood sugar down. So these are just complex mechanisms. We've got a lot of chapters and textbooks about all the mechanisms of action, but basically that's it. It really both improves cholesterol profiles and blood pressure and insulin resistance. Very importantly, uniformly it improves the health of vessels. So even if you don't have risk factors, if you want healthier vessels, and we've proven this by looking at how compliant these vessels are, how loose they are. You don't want stiff vessels. And also what's called endothelial function, which is the health of the lining of all of your arteries. And these are proven, we've done extensive studies proving the value in vascular health.
The endothelium is the cells that line the inside of arteries. And when you were coming up and I was coming up, certainly it was it's an organ system, much like you said that gut fat is an organ system. This is an organ system.
Yeah, it's the largest organ in the body. It covers 6 tennis courts in surface area in the average 150-pound man. So it's a quite interesting tissue or organ.
And I don't think the average person thinks of it that way, but they need to. Bob wanted to ask a question. Yeah,
I'm just the token layman here between two doctors talking.
Yeah, yeah.
And a lot of my friends, like I'm sitting here, I have cold-pressed juice, beet juice, and watermelon juice, and a lot of my friends that are coming up in their 50s, that generation, are very much not traditional medicine followers. And I think most of my friends are going too extreme left, if you want to go left-right about it, thinking that if you just take bergamot or you just drink beet juice or you just take turmeric, you're going to be okay. And I think this conversation you guys are having is where we need to move in the future, where medicine and healthy living and health and wellness work together and respect each other. And I see you guys doing
that. For sure. And before Dr. Ehrlich answers, let me put a little finer point on that, because it's complicated what you're saying in reality. Article in New York Times this morning, the current stage of antibiotic use is going to end because the bacteria are going to figure out how to resist everything.
Yeah.
And they were saying in this article that this expert was saying that most of the new advances will probably come from old plant treatments that have been long forgotten. So we will pull these things forward, not using exactly the plant. And that is the other point I want to make, is I have terrible vascular disease in my family history. And you can only fight your genetics so much without pharmacology.
Mm-hmm.
And so you need to really talk to a physician about how to combine these.
And this is what's exciting. And, we're talking to a physician who's going into that world with medical mind,
for sure,
saying this is quantifiable. Yeah. I wish somebody would do that with turmeric, because turmeric is the biggest selling health food thing in the world. No science about it.
Well, maybe Dr. Ehrlich knows something. I mean? Hold on. Let's ask that. That's a sort of a sidebar, but let's ask that question.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I think you're absolutely right that you need to combine a healthy lifestyle. I mean, we have to think of foods as either protecting your health, and some foods do that, or damaging you, certain fast foods and other things. And certainly we want to be loaded to the gills with the right combinations of healthy lifestyle and antioxidants and protective agents with this toxic environment that we have. So oxidative stress is a major cause of heart disease, diabetes, and other chronic disorders. Inflammation is a cousin of oxidative stress. And so it's very healthy to load yourself with fruits and vegetables that are that have a lot of antioxidants. And then we think this particular combination that's in and extracted from the bergamot fruit for bergamot is super protective. And we're very excited by the literature that's been presented at the American College of Gastroenterology showing this unprecedented improvements in both liver structure and function.
Now you're talking to something I want to know about.
Well, it's for fatty liver, though, Bob. Hang on a second. Fatty liver is different than what you have. Bob has Hep C, and so he's can people with Hep C take bergamot, or can people with chronic liver diseases other than fatty liver take it?
I don't think it's been shown. No, I don't. It hasn't been studied that way.
But is there a downside to the bergamot? Any risks?
No, I don't think so. It's not even metabolized by the liver, so we don't worry about patients with damaged livers handling bergamot.
There you go. So okay, good. I'm going to take it.
You're in. Another question is, once you're on this substance, should you stay on it forever?
We don't know that. We think a long-term investment, at least a year, is advisable. We don't like people who, you know, some people don't see massive changes in their cholesterol numbers unless you do advanced testing of cholesterol, so they get off of it because, you know, they don't notice that their vessels are getting healthier and that kind of thing. We don't know about lifetime use, but it certainly is something that very quickly improves cholesterol, blood sugar, blood pressure, abdominal fat, and inflammation.
And then you have different preparations. There's Bergamot Pro and then Mega Plus. Which? How do we know which one to choose?
Well, I think we're moving towards most people will be on the Bergamot Pro Plus, and I think the Mega has been available on the internet. The Pro Plus has traditionally been available by physicians, but now we are making it available for your listeners as the Pro Plus, which is probably the top of the line, a little stronger.
I just have some out on my countertop in my bathroom because I've got to take it to some patients that want to do this, and I'm persuaded.
There are a few companies that are still selling their bergamot products, but they're very low concentrations of the bergamot polyphenols. And studies have shown that you got to have the highest concentrations to have the most people benefit by the most amount.
There you go. Bergamot Pro Plus. Bergamot is a sponsor of our podcast, Bob. And James Ehrlich is the brains behind this. And give me the title again here in the U.S.
I'm the ambassador to Bergamotto. When they told me I was going to be ambassador, I said, let me check. But I don't think I've ever been made ambassador of a fruit before. So this is the first.
Congratulations, Mr. Ambassador.
Thank you.
Dr. James Ehrlich, thank you so much for calling in. We appreciate all the info.
Thank you.
We'll check in with you again.
Hey, have a wonderful weekend.
You too. Take care. Once again, visit us at drdrew.com. Also, don't forget to click through the Amazon banner. It doesn't cost you a thing, but it keeps a little wind in the sails. We can keep this ship afloat. Speaking about vascular disease and...
You were talking about BMI, so body mass index...
Well, now we're going to cholesterol.
...does not dictate heart attack. No. I've always thought as a layman that it definitely does.
Absolutely not. In fact, there's a dirty little secret that people with very high BMIs tend to live longer.
Come on!
Yes.
People with high BMIs and CHF with certain other complicating illnesses do, and...
What the hell are you talking about?
We're not saying that if you become diabetic because you're overweight, you're going to live longer. We're just saying taking all takers with a high BMI, there's a weird phenomenon that no one can really, really explain that they tend to live longer.
What is the percentage of the obese population in America that does get type 2 diabetes? Like, what is? I thought it was very
depends
high.
On other genetic.
Well,
I thought
it was certain very races, high. Hispanics and Hawaiians and other
40%.
No, they get like 90%. Yeah. Certain
You're
genetics,
kidding me?
certain genetics groupings really get it, really prone to it. But anyway, let's switch over now to vascular disease because we were just talking about that with bergamot. Both are at real risk.
Right.
And how would you screen for that? If you were doing either presidential candidate, you're trying to screen for the risk for heart disease.
Go ahead.
Well, you might do a calcium score.
Which they did on Hillary. They didn't do one.
And they, right. Trump definitely should have that.
Right.
And I would put them both on a treadmill and for sure stress them and look at the cardiac response and
stuff. Don't you have to do that when you're like 55? That's what
you,
I just
you
did.
Should. You yeah. should. I imagine they've both had that. I can imagine.
Did
they,
see, I don't know what's been released as far as
that. That has not been released.
Did Trump have a colonoscopy? Know. That's what I would like to know.
Oh, yeah.
They must
He's have. Got a gastroenterologist as his primary care physician.
That's his buddy. Yeah.
No, that guy's actually qualified, I think.
But he would no doubt he would do regular colonoscopies. Okay. I don't know about Hillary, but I'm assuming the same. Because she has attentive personnel. It's not that they're inattentive. In fact, I would argue that they're sort of patronizing. They may be overly.
No, here's what my suspect. A lot of people like me don't like to go to hospitals and doctors and waiting rooms.
I understand. But
they just don't. And I think she is definitely one of those type A people who just has no time for that bullshit.
But Bob, then you're Michael Jackson. then you're calling the shots, and you're selecting your doctor based on your ability to call the shots.
No,
that's
I think it should just be.
Just
turn a blind eye, like I did to my Hep C for years and years.
I understand, but you're going to be president. You have a team that's good. They need to call the shots. They need Bruce?
Right.
Yeah.
You think Kennedy's team was calling the shots? There were some shots involved there.
Yeah, that was crazy. They were shooting calling the
shots. Methamphetamine, you know that, and opiates, don't you?
Right,
and opiates.
Did you know that?
Yeah. But it was a different era. It was a different approach to things. He was also getting treated for his but he's getting treated for Addison's,
which he had, which every opioid addict has. They have.
So you don't think he really had
No, he had adrenal insufficiency and probably testosterone insufficiency from all the opioids.
Oh, okay, well,
and then they gave him cortisone, and then he got high. It was craziness. Total. It's some of the worst medicine I've ever seen practiced.
Is that right?
Some of the greatest speeches ever, might I say.
Well, I'm just saying, he was, you know, if he had not been assassinated, I don't know where that would have gone.
I don't want to switch off. I know you want to stay on topic, but Obama, to me, when I look at him, looks like the healthiest motherfucker that's ever been president.
Pretty much.
Yeah. He smokes, but
yeah,
I think
smokes.
He chews the gum. I see him chewing a lot.
His lips are a little bluish. That's how you know he's smoking.
Yeah, the smoking is really shortening his life. It will. For sure.
Will.
Not a maybe. It will. So we're kind of walking our way through all this stuff now. There's still a long ways to go. So
heart disease.
But one thing that Mr. Trump has brought up is lipid metabolism, hyperlipidemia. Which
and he's
I
on
have.
A statin.
He's on a statin. Does that eliminate the risk of heart disease?
No, it doesn't eliminate it. But there's just this new study out. I don't know if that's where you're referring to. But the review of statins that especially if you don't have side effects from them, liver problems and muscle problems, they do significantly, I think, decrease cardiac risk.
You know, speaking of Dr. Oz, I was talking to him probably 10 years ago, and he said, you know, I'm not doing coronary bypasses anymore. I'm just doing valves because the statins have so drastically changed the incidence of coronary disease.
Right.
Which is interesting.
So let's get with the heart stuff, right? My mom just passed away since we've seen each other, right?
Sorry.
She had one of those free floater strokes, right? What was it called, Drew? Drew knows all the terminology.
She had massive, an embolic stroke?
Yeah, in the brain, massive. You said the name. She didn't know who she was. She didn't know where she was, but she could talk, kind of.
Okay. She had a large left-sided stroke.
And that's from smoking, right? From plaque in the what is that from?
Combination of things. Hypertension. I don't know what her history was, but sure, smoking contributes to that.
But doesn't things break off from your arteries and go to
they
your
can,
block
right.
and
they
block?
Can.
Your carotids especially.
Yeah.
They come from the carotid, they come from the aorta, they come from the heart. And different ones have different sort of characteristics.
Little just specks of
well,
what?
If you have specks, that's what my dad had. He had specks that came off the aorta. And,
that's what Buddy Arnold had.
And it sort of rained on his brain. So he had a lot of little tiny
little
things,
strokes.
But then it got to his eye. You know, the eye is sort of the way your brain is constructed. The eye is an artery that can catch those really easily. And boom, instant blindness in that eye.
You're kidding.
No. But speaking of my dad, he also died. He eventually died of a Coumadin complication.
How old, Dad? How old?
83.
That's which pretty is, good. Which is That's why, a good
yeah,
run.
Well, a lot of medical stuff. But why I'm a little nervous about Coumadin, you know? I've seen real serious disasters, even in sort of well-managed situations. And not from a fall. He had a spontaneous intracranial bleed. Big.
Right, which does
and
happen.
So you guys are suggesting that if you're on Coumadin and you fall and cut yourself badly, you're not going to...
It's not cutting yourself, it's hitting your head. I mean,
that's the
big...
Or bleeding from your gut.
Into the GI, yeah. Right.
Those
GI
are the two biggies, because you can't, you know, those are dangerous.
And you just, you don't coagulate, you don't what from Coumadin?
Right. blood thinner, so you don't clot. You
so
don't
want. What are platelets? What are platelets?
There are other little cells that float around in the blood that contribute.
I had a sponsor in AA that was had low platelets, and he would cut his leg, and it would
right.
Heal.
That's why you take aspirin.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Well, no, hey, low platelets is very common. It's called ITP, or immune thrombocytopenia purpura. You knew how it was.
Joe Korn, guy from AA.
Korn, the guy, lead singer of Korn.
Jonathan.
Yeah, he had it. And it goes away usually. It's not necessarily associated with anything else, but it's where the platelets are primarily what cause the clots on your
so
skin.
So Coumadin doesn't do anything with that.
Not that, but there are many other factors that interact with the platelets that cause that little clot, and that's what Coumadin affects. And so, in your body, and when not exposed to the air, that clotting system is very important.
So there's another controversial thing going on. I know we're focused on the presidency, but Chris Bosh of the Miami Heat is on blood thinners. And the Heat don't want him to play, and he wants to play, and that's coming down within the next 5 weeks.
There's no way he should play. No way.
He wants to play.
Too bad.
But as far as I'm concerned, it's a contact sport. He hits his head, it's all
he's dead. Boom. Yeah. He falls once or hits or collides with a big dude.
He plays basketball on them. He played last year on them.
On Coumadin?
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah, he does the commercial with Arnold Palmer.
He's on Xarelto. Xarelto.
What is that, a Coumadin-type medicine?
It's a safer
alternative.
Version. It's what I've been wondering why Ms. Clinton wasn't treated with that, because it's safer. But it's because it's not specifically indicated for another problem she had. Let's get into this. Called a transverse sinus thrombosis, which is a rare complication of head injury. Sometimes it can happen even spontaneously. So how do we make sense of that for people?
What is it? Predilection. It's a clot in a vein that runs in the brain.
You got this, Bob? It's what circulates your cerebral spinal fluid. It's the collecting. Your cerebral spinal fluid is produced in the ventricles, the middle of the brain, and it's sucked back in these veins in the side of the brain. And she developed a clot in one of those, which is crazy rare. I've only seen one of those in my entire career.
Yeah.
You ever seen it?
No.
No. And so I talked to a neurologist who said it's always associated with some sort of backup into the midbrain and a little damage there, like a stroke. So what you would expect to see after a stroke in that region of the brain is double vision.
Right.
Eye movement disorder, maybe some swallowing problems. Maybe some fainting. So all the stuff that you're sort of seeing with Hillary Clinton. Now, she wore those glasses, those prison glasses, which is specifically for this problem. So we know she had it. That you can't debate, did she or didn't she? I mean, that's what that is. And you can even see it now when she moves her eyes like to one side.
Is it a unilateral
side.
Or I did?
No, the contralateral side lags. So okay. She looks to the right, the left eye lags as it moves to the right. It's very subtle, but you can see it.
But when she looks to the left,
same thing.
Okay.
Same thing. You can see it, and it's whatever, and it'll no big deal. And none of this has to affect thinking or cognition, right?
Well, the head injury.
Well,
At that time.
And so concussion can affect cognition.
Right. But your risk of new episodes, and is she hypercoagulable? She had two DVTs.
What's a DVT?
Deep vein thrombosis. So
what is
a clot
that?
In the leg. What, 90% of clots in the legs are what? If you have a pulmonary embolism, a clot in the lung, 90% of the time comes from a clot in the leg.
Right. And those are dangerous. But she didn't have that. She just had the clots in the legs. And so they put her on, I don't think they put her on Coumadin then.
Well, that's what I'm wondering.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, because probably for 3 months.
Yeah, they probably put her on briefly.
But then having a recurrent episode and then also the transverse sinus, does she have a hypercoagulable state? And the problem is, it's like Swiss cheese. You don't hear the whole story.
Right.
And
but we did hear she saw a hematologist, though. That was reassuring.
Well, but what did he say? Does she have sort of a latent five-factor problem?
We're going deep into doctor
deep
talk
into
here.
Deep into doctor talk.
So,
there's a new blood thinner.
That's the most common cause.
There's a new blood thinner that you're only on for 8 hours. Have you heard of this?
Yeah, for 8 hours and then never again? It lasts 8 hours.
No, it lasts 8 hours.
Heparin, probably.
Heparin. Yeah.
No, it's not new.
Heparin's ancient.
Yeah.
Chris Bosh is trying to get on that so that when he's playing basketball, he won't bleed or cause...
He'll stop taking it.
Oh, he's going to stop while he's
using
it.
No, that's really great.
He's going to take the 8 hour only effectiveness.
Listen, Bob. Yeah. He's going to take something called Lovenox.
Yeah.
It's an injectable.
Yeah.
It lasts 8 hours.
Yeah.
When he's off it, he could die.
Right. Okay.
Well, he's going to be playing basketball then.
I understand that. And that is a reasonable thing if his wrist...
Why? Bruce is really having a reaction to that.
Oh, it's a terrible idea.
You're not a sports guy?
I'm a sports guy, and another sports guy is defining his treatment. It's like...
Oh, my God. Really,
just like the president. And so here's the deal. That's right. And just like Michael Jackson, that's a terrible idea. But I will tell you what, the only time we really ever do that is when somebody needs a surgery. So we'll do it.
Well, he's treating a basketball game as a surgery.
I know he is, and that's not appropriate.
Right.
But and the surgery must not be elective. Like, they have to do it.
So
then we'll
do
the
love. Determines, what I'm trying to get is with Hillary, who determines what medicine she takes for the blood thinning? The Coumadin,
well,
or the this or that?
A hematologist, blood specialist. But what Bruce is bringing up is, why all this clotting? And that was the thing that I took most issue with, is I did a literature search on armored thyroid,
right,
which is essentially just compressed cow thyroid.
Or pig or cow.
Yeah. And it hasn't been used in really regularly in decades. And it's associated with coagulation problems. So my question was, well, why not put her on a more traditional treatment like levothyroxine and take away that risk? Yeah, right? Doesn't that make sense?
Makes sense. I have no idea what the thinking behind that is.
They actually answered that. It's almost like they were interrogatories to what I was proposing.
Right. Well,
And they answered it and said, I forget the reason. I talked to a pulmonologist who said that the reason was not compelling. And okay. I forget what it was offhand. But thyroid disease, let's talk a little bit about thyroid disease. Because people see how many different things there are going on here.
I know.
So thyroid is a gland that essentially is sort of the... What, the accelerator and the brakes of your metabolism.
Control.
Sort of how people talk about it. And if you are deficient in thyroid, you can get really sick.
Right. And more clotting.
More clotting,
low
thyroid.
You know what I think
thyroid.
Happens? Because I just went through this big health scare, Bruce. Just for a weekend, I thought I was going to die. So, and I know how patients, that's me, that's the us, that's the 99.9% of the population, not doctors, think is like, once you guys fix this, I'm totally fucking cool. I don't want to think about it anymore.
Mm.
And so if you measure that into why Hillary just keeps moving further away from what you guys are saying, I don't think many Americans want to even know what the fuck's wrong with them. They just want you to fix them.
I think that's true.
Right?
That's true. Magical solution.
Then yeah. And if you're to people that are scared of you or in awe of you or want to be your doctor because you're famous, which is a lot of my friends.
Terrible idea.
It's really bad.
But then, Bob, I will remind you that you, not long ago, during that discussion with Dr. Ehrlich, were saying that, no one wants to talk to doctors. Everyone wants to listen to doctors. Everyone wants to determine their own health care with the use of juices and whatever.
Yeah.
It's weird.
It is
a weird situation.
I think the whole health and wellness upswing in America and the popularity of it is because people are scared of doctors. I know I had to go to the doctor 3 times in 3 days. It's the most I've been to a doctor in 20 years.
Right.
I had every blood work done, like 16 different blood works and blood for the... just so much shit. And I was scared, and you're treated like you're in a machine, a bureaucracy, and every impulse is, I'm just going to go get some beet juice and I'll be fine.
And it's funny, Bob called me afterwards. He goes, it's a disaster. I kept going, what? It sounds, it sounds good.
I also saw it as a Kaiser conspiracy, because they wanted to know if I was cancer-free before they would give me the medicine. And I felt like, yeah, if I'm going to die of cancer, they don't want to spend the money on the medicine.
Well, of course.
But he said, well, first they want to deal with the cancer and then deal with it.
Yeah, right. Bottom line is, getting back to Hillary, what I thought of was, first of all, this, she does have a Swiss cheese medical history. She passes out. She should go to the ER, and if you have an infiltrate, infection, infarction, malignancy, what does she have? That's what the main three issues. And to find out those things, to clear that up, there's testing that you can't do at Chelsea's or urgent care.
And right, I agree. And hopefully they, you know, on the DL, took her to the hospital and did all that.
I'm sure they did. And so have been admitted? No, probably not in retrospect, but you can't. Retrospect is dangerous medicine.
Right. So. Now, following forward with this right middle lobe pneumonia, you're treating with Levaquin. We don't agree with that treatment, but okay. When should you have a follow-up CAT scan to see if that right middle lobe pneumonia is resolving?
But I don't know, 2 weeks?
Yeah, 2-3 weeks. Yeah. So we should know soon if that.
If they, but are we going to know?
Yeah, they may not tell us. They're under no obligation to tell us, guys. They're under no. They really legally have any obligation. We're just a lot of people are just saying, though, geez, there should be transparency because we're trying to determine who should be the leader of the free world.
But don't people get recurring pneumonia? Don't you get that CAT scan? It looks like it's gone, and then all of a sudden, 6 months later, it's back again.
No. It takes time to clear on a plain chest X-ray. So
But
two weeks, she would be.
You'd be see improvement in. Yeah, you want to see that thing getting better or going away.
And as it clears up, is there malignancy underneath? Is there something else that it's
right?
Yeah,
they're scary. These are red blood cells are scary.
Yeah, I think Trump's more interesting to talk about is hypomania.
Let's talk about that.
His cardiovascular risk. I don't think anybody's going to be that concerned with his medical. Really? He doesn't have any medical red flags.
Did you guys see the Dr. Oz interview? I want to know that.
Yeah, for the
parts do you feel like Trump is railroading him and he doesn't even stand up and be a doctor? Because that's how I felt.
He's a talk show host.
Yeah. Come on now.
No, he's also chairman of cardiovascular.
No, I love Oz and he's a great doctor, but I'm saying in that role, in that moment.
Trump was saying what the results meant to a doctor.
Well, that's not okay. I didn't pick that up.
About the cholesterol and about his
but what
risk,
if he was right? I mean,
risk for heart disease.
He was right.
He's on stands. He's fine.
Yeah, he's right.
And then I think it's more interesting the debate. Is he sociopath? Is he hypomanic? Is he malignant narcissist?
What if
narcissist?
It's just a con? I got news for you. I think it's just an act. I think he knows exactly what he's doing. I think a lot of Republican power brokers are coming around to know the method to his madness. It's the only way to get the White House is to act like a madman. I'm telling you. And you're going to see him.
No, more
watch this.
Your producer's saying no politics.
No, watch this, though. You're going to see him.
Just
you're gonna see him move to left of Hillary if he's nominated.
That'd be interesting.
That's pure speculation. But is he hypomanic?
And okay, what do you say?
My favorite president, Theodore Roosevelt, was hypomanic.
Yes,
and
he
I
was.
Liked Clinton. And Clinton.
Yes, and many businessmen are hypomanic.
Successful businessmen. What I like, and you read about Rahm Emanuel, the Emanuel brothers, fascinating stuff. These guys are all hypomanic.
Right. So describe what that is so people understand what that is.
Okay, so you think a manic depressive, somebody that's manic. Medically, they're out of control. They get psychotic. They hear voices. They can't. It affects their activities of daily living.
Remember the guy that did the pony video? Was it pony or coney or whatever that African tribe?
Right.
He became manic down in San Diego. South Park did a whole spoof
on it. Pulling your clothes off.
And he threw his clothes off. Right. He was masturbating in public. He was screaming and yelling and carrying on like a madman. That's mania.
Right.
I always told people, go, "How can you diagnose?" I go, "Look, if I were teaching a medical school class on mania, I would show that video."
Right.
That's mania.
I think a hypomanic, somebody that's very high energy, successful, a lot of people don't like them. They say what they think. They push their way
through.
So hold
on. So we have Trump saying, "I only sleep 4 hours a night." Okay. That's
like
a hypomanic symptom. Clinton too. And the hypersexuality with Clinton. Right. But we don't know that with Trump, but maybe.
Well, he trades off wives.
We don't know that with Trump.
Hypersexuality?
He talks about his dick all the time. Like, what are you talking about?
This is not pro con Trump.
Yeah, we're not pro con.
I'm
anybody.
An independent. I don't.
Yeah, I'm too. I'm an independent. I don't. And by the way, I could easily vote for Hillary. Easily.
Yeah.
I may well. But when I think about casting my vote there, I get more scared about her health.
Exactly.
That's when I really get upset.
And the fact that you, this doesn't affect me, but you've honestly spoken your mind medically what you saw, and you get eaten alive. Now that was the issue I had.
I know, so I just backed out. I didn't want to get into it. I'm not politically inclined, so I don't want to get involved in all that. I'd said stuff about Trump and his hypomania on Don Lemon's show just a couple days before that. No one seemed to care.
No one cares.
But whatever. But
because hypomania is not something that would be a negative in terms of someone becoming president.
In fact, it could be a positive, right?
It was for Clinton.
Unless it flips into mania.
Right.
Then it's a problem. And so...
Let's just put him on an antidepressant. You'll find out.
People have to watch this pretty carefully.
Okay, let me say this. If Hillary becomes president and drops dead, I don't think it affects the world that much. If Trump is hypomanic and alienates an ally and NATO and causes all kinds of international chaos, that's pretty destructive.
Okay, but listen.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares?
But here's
that's speculative. I'm just talking about the health aspects.
Yeah, we're not getting into politics.
It's so bad.
Well, no, describe mania and describe the decision-making.
Hypomania.
Hypomanias make very good decisions sometimes, right. but they have trouble editing their speech, so that what you hear is what they're thinking, and that seems to be Mr. Trump's issue too, right? The speech just pushing comes out of them, and they don't always think about what they're about to say, and they have boundless energy, and they have... no sleep, and they do lots of amazing things, hypomanics. And again, I'm not saying I'm voting for him or supporting him. I'm just saying that's not necessary.
And where
for
does
you.
That
when
end?
You think Trump, think Rahm Emanuel and Bill Clinton, and then don't that because they have the same characteristics. And
don't
you look
be
at
condescending
Rahm,
to me.
I'm not.
I can separate.
I love
out.
Rahm Emanuel.
I ain't voting for either one of them. I think they're both just horrible candidates. But
stop. Your producer says stop.
Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're just doing we're just doing a medical evaluation of the material.
Right. I like both of them. I think Hillary's
she's just so offensive.
Well, right, but come on. They're both she's highly accomplished.
But why Drew got crucified was because of the public's perception of that, right? The public is very vested in either or.
He got crucified because he spoke the truth and
on the either network. If he would have spoken it on the OR network, it would have been fine.
I spoke about it on the radio.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you were working for the network.
The other issue is people...
right?
Well, Newt Gingrich had some fine words for you, too.
I know, it was awesome. That was kind of weird, wasn't it?
That was kind of weird.
We were going to get him on the radio. I was going to talk to him, because I was like, what the hell?
Why?
I'm just kind of worried about her health.
Because he was looking for some common ground so there wasn't too anti... It was like, I'm not totally anti-Hillary. Mm-hmm. Look, I defended your right to have...
Whatever, it's all politics. It's all I'm not really interested, but... I am interested in a couple of topics before we sort of wrap. How are we doing on time? Okay. Parkinson has come up with Hillary. And let's talk about Parkinson's disease versus Parkinsonism.
Okay.
I'm an
ER doc, you know.
All right, I'll get into it then. But Parkinson's disease is a progressive disorder of the nigrostriatal system in the brain, which is in the brainstem that affects movement. So people develop... stiffness, they don't move
Michael
as much.
Michael J. Fox has pretty much made the public pretty aware of it.
But what you're seeing with him mostly
is... As in his progression.
No, you're mostly seeing side effects of the medications
right.
in him. You're not seeing the Parkinson's. Parkinson's is pretty well controlled with him. You're seeing lots of the jerky, herky movements of the medication. That's meds. And plus, they can implant stuff into the brain now that works really well to decrease Parkinson's.
He talks about how hard it was to brush his teeth.
I know. I understand. That was then.
There
can be a dementia. There can be a depression associated with it. And it causes a tremor. It causes stiffness. People get their face gets what's called flat, mask-like. It doesn't no animation to the face. And this is a progressive illness. And it can get really bad. But Parkinsonism is some or all of those features in a non-progressive condition associated with something else, a stroke, which in the particular midbrain, which is what Hillary probably had, well, definitely had. We now know she had because we see the eye movements and we know, and she said she had a transverse sinus thrombosis. And so, you know, she could have some Parkinsonian qualities, but it's not Parkinson's disease. And it doesn't really mean anything in her case, in my opinion.
Right. But that's another thing that, again, I think some of the extremist views on her medical issues where saying that she might have Parkinson's is ridiculous.
Yes, ridiculous.
So I
agree with that.
And that's affected the ability of people like yourself to comment intelligently about what's really going on.
Because people are taking extreme positions and there's all this sort of, the sky is falling stuff.
Right.
This is a terrible kind of, and there's nothing on either of them that either of us, Bruce or I, are saying, oh my God, this precludes them being president. So most of their medical teams have both said that. They're fit to serve. Do we agree with that?
Yeah.
For the most part.
But one's risk is greater than the other in terms of being incapacitated for even short days, weeks, or months.
Or if there's if she's not properly managed. This is where I'm freaking out. If she's not properly managed, it could be really bad.
Right. But I don't think, because I remember Clinton wasn't that healthy and he was on
it. He is just like Trump. The same stuff with Trump.
So Clinton, I remember, didn't have say over his health care.
Once they're president.
Yes. No, so if she were nominated, she would have to do what you're saying. If she gets elected, she would have to do what you're saying because Naval Academy, I think, oversees their health.
That's correct.
And Clinton was butting heads with his doctors there.
Yep.
Right?
That's right.
And do you remember that?
Yeah.
And they were making him run, and then he was running to McDonald's. Did you remember that?
I do remember that.
That was the greatest thing ever.
But he ended up with coronary disease. You know, he ended up needing a big bypass surgery and getting more serious about it. So as it pertains back to the Parkinson and the brain injury stuff, the swallowing stuff, remember that episode of coughing that she had at the podium that said that it was an allergy to Trump, which was quite clever. That was probably the last aspiration episode, wouldn't you think?
Right. And people that suppress cough, there's also a right middle lobe syndrome of some sort that goes along with people that chronically suppress coughing.
Interesting. I've heard of that, but I've not thought of that in a long time.
Some name to it. I don't remember. But
right middle lobe syndrome. You know what we'll do? We're going to put out a newsletter. And our new crack editor, Michelle Poe, is going to be getting into detail that you can understand, and she'll put out little descriptions of some of the stuff we talked about here today. So
great.
Particularly right middle lobe syndrome, we'll talk about that, what that is. But Bobby, you're here to keep us honest today. Is there anything else you'd like to...
Well, I look at both of them...
Forget the politics, but just medical.
I look at both of them, and they both look like unhealthy people that could drop dead at any time. That's what most presidents look like. I hate to tell you, this whole thing has become a concern because of this bitter divide in our country of either or. And there's a lot of people that are neither one. Neither one.
I think all three of us. I'll be one or the other when I finally make up my mind. But I'm
he's Gary Johnson all the way.
No, not really.
No, you don't.
It wasn't even the Aleppo comment. No.
What do you think of him stopping pot just for the election? What do you think the thing with that would depression?
I think he has an addictive disorder, and he's not going to quit smoking pot.
No, but if he has, like he said he would, wouldn't he be depressed?
In withdrawal stuff?
Yeah.
He might be. He seems a little blunted.
Yeah, it does seem blunted. Yeah, I mean, so I wouldn't vote for him for...
He pauses for a second?
I would like to vote for him, actually, but I don't think I can either.
I mean, yes, but cognitive issues.
There's seems nobody like, yeah. to vote for. Holy God.
Well, anyway, so did we...
I thought you would be a Johnson guy.
Did we cover all the territory to everyone's satisfaction?
No.
Rubio.
All medical issues.
Oh, God. Rubio's now, Rubio guy? Was the youngest, healthiest guy who ran for president this term. Can we
I'm
say
a
that?
I'm a pragmatist. He's Latino. He's reasonable. And
he's
I think
35, he's, right?
Oh.
40?
40s. Yeah.
A couple things we did not get into. We did not really talk about concussion. And I think concussion...
Oh, post-concussion syndrome is huge.
It's huge. It's protean. It's
missed
difficult.
A lot.
It has lots of manifestations. I think it's into the public lexicon because of NFL and football and
right.
stuff, and so people kind of understand.
But I think people think of the end stage problems, but the short term, 6 weeks, 6 months, 6 years, irritability, memory issues, mood swings.
From one concussion?
Sleep disturbances, depression, personality changes, all kinds of things. Judgment problems, yes.
Yeah, that's not too negative, but I mean, she had a major... concussive issue.
Complicated by a CBA. Yeah, multiple really serious injuries.
Right.
But she seems fine. I mean, from that way, really, it seems.
Right.
I mean, I know, but they're certainly not releasing that information. And again, they're not obliged to. You know what I mean?
But it's a syndrome that is now being better described because some of the testing that needs to be done to determine
gets done.
The facts, now it's being done, but it wasn't done, it was missed. So you don't know what that testing would show.
There
but
must anyway. Be a neurologist in her team because
oh, yeah.
just look at the prism I wear. You know, that's not
right,
a, that's not her
the problem is you're not going to get that information. That's my issue is there are questions I'd have. It's like McCain had 6,000 pages of, you know, and I'm not saying I voted for McCain, but these type of transparency programs for your medical health. We're not seeing that with either of these candidates, I don't think.
And I think you're right, Bob, because of the either-or-ness. One other thing, there's some alleged reports that Hillary may have been using a drug called Provigil, as and some are alleging it's part of an off-label treatment for Parkinson's. I would never use Provigil for Parkinson's unless a patient was moribund, like really like, you know, they can get very sleepy, kind of like out of it with the
right.
Parkinson's. No, you're not going to use it for a person who's up and about.
No,
it's
I mean,
psychostimulant?
It's a psychostimulant. I think eventually it'll be, is it scheduled yet? Or
I'm glad it's going to be.
Yeah, it's going
I've
to
seen
be.
It abused. We used to see it once in a while at Los Angeles.
Which is the one that's not abused? Strattera?
Strattera.
I don't think you get addicted to that.
Yeah, it's a little better.
They're scheduling Kratom. That's another interesting
thing. Well, and then again, people are all weird about that.
Oh.
That Kratom is just another opiate. It's a weak opiate that you can get over the counter, which is weird.
Oh, I've had patients that I have $15,000 a month, one patient. But
using it.
When you use it in large enough amounts, it's like taking a speedball. It's like meth and Norco.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll do one of the future newsletters. We'll put Kratom in, Michelle. Kratom will be on.
Well, let's get into the area all three of us work in. I think both of them are addicts.
Oh,
no, I don't think either. I think they're both.
I do. I think they're addicted to other things, not substances, obviously
right.
food, and, obviously sex.
Okay.
And
what would
I
you call that?
I can't believe
when
Trump marries a European model, you don't think he's having sex, Bruce.
He's having sex. I'm saying he's a sex addict. That's the question.
Yeah. But, of course he's having sex.
But here's the deal. Listen to me. Bob.
What?
Trump's brother died of alcoholism.
I know.
Right? He was very affected by that. Ms. Clinton you could argue, married to somebody with some addictive pathologies.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're
but her dad, and her dad was a mean guy.
Right, and you're mentioning all these other sorts of constellations.
So the traumas in all these families.
I understand that, but what do we... I'm just
going
to abstain.
Where are you going with
this? Codependency.
Right.
Both of them are severe codependents, and that's what you're reading as addiction. They're addicted to other things to fill the void, not substance.
No, not substances, but other things.
But that's codependency.
Power, money, fame. Power, money, fame are the new opiates of
but who's going to run for president? Population. Who's going to run for president that's not involved in all
Gary yeah. Johnson.
The one that actually... You know.
Yeah, well, we'll all be now, growing pot.
Do you think Obama's got a little bit of addiction in him? I'm certain he does.
No.
No, I don't... I mean, you know, the Come tobacco... On.
No, he was Barry. He was partying at Occidental.
No, I don't see
so
that.
So was everybody.
Yeah.
That's how addiction medicine started. All the guys using heroin in Vietnam. Some came back and quit. Some didn't. It's genetics. He doesn't have it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's it. All right. Well, listen, Bruce, thank you. We're going to – maybe you and I spin off and do a little medical show.
I'd love
here in the
to
near
do
future.
That.
Yeah. We'll just do a short medical show with a newsletter and try to make – if one of the things we can hopefully do is make sense of the nonsense that's in the press on any topic. Doesn't
Promise
have to be
me you'll
candidates.
Look into the Chris Bosh stuff. It's crazy.
Which is that now again?
The basketball player who wants to play on blood thinners.
I don't think they'll let him play.
He's going to go to Toronto.
Right.
They are saying, he's got doctors saying he can play.
Why is he on thinners? He had DVT or something?
I think he had a DVT. The issue is, there's insurance issues.
Blood clot in his leg went to
contractually, no one's going to sign a contract.
He played after that, and when he was on blood thinners.
That's very dangerous. Very dangerous. And to give him a period of 3 hours to play basketball where he's off blood thinners, very dangerous.
Who would co-sign that?
What physician?
There are doctors all across this nation who love basketball more than you, Bruce.
Wow.
I like my license.
Yeah.
Last time I checked,
their job
I had
is
one.
To do no harm. And
so
I don't
so I think there's a lot of health issues in the public that the public doesn't understand, and you guys could decipher.
Did any of this make sense today? Do we?
Yeah, I think that. Everybody knows Hillary's like an old grandma, and
is that your distillation?
Yes, that's the distillation.
Okay.
The things that you said were my mother, were people of that age bracket, some portions of that population. I'm sorry. That's how.
So
I
your
hear
distillation
it.
Is Trump's a sex addict and Hillary's a granny.
No, Trump is a larger than life steak eating womanizing type guy like my dad. My dad died at 58 from heart disease. My mother, just sister mother, smoked and felt sorry for herself for years and years and got matronly looking like Hillary and had a stroke and died. That's what happens in America. You guys are on the other side of the fence. And so when you're looking at somebody, you relate to that's like my mother. Hillary's like my mother. She's about the same age. She looks like her. Physical wise, she's having some of the same health issues my mother's having, and millions of mothers and grandmothers
are
having.
Our point is, she's having none of the health problems your mother had, zero, and the problems she's having are highly unusual and very dangerous and need exquisitely sophisticated medical management. That's why it took us so long to walk through them all. And I've raised the issue that looking at it at the beginning, not so clear she was getting that. And now I'm a little clearer that they're being more attentive. I still have issues, like you brought up, Bob, that she may be calling the shots a little bit, which is maybe how they got into this situation. And that happens. But it's that it is so complex. Recurrent DVT, transverse sinus thrombosis, mid-vein stroke, aspiration, right middle lobe pneumonia. These are highly, some of them exceedingly rare.
My mother had all those things.
She had
pneumonia. She fell and broke her shoulder.
Bob,
she fainted,
none of those things
and
are
then
related.
She died of a stroke.
Bob,
what would have predicted your current verbose state of mind, where you're clear, you're recovering? What in your past genetics would predict this recovery and your ability to
your resiliency?
Your resilience.
Recovery?
Look, at, I mean, you're
trauma. Trauma and personality. Okay, I think you underestimate Trump's personality problems.
But let me just say,
they're powerful. They're as powerful as human biology. His will to bully and bulldoze over and get shit done and not sleep and do things. That's you. You admitted, Bruce, that's his personality disorder.
What do you think when you think of
that's hypomania?
When you think of Teddy Roosevelt, what do you think of? I'm just curious. You think of his guns?
I think he went after the monopolies.
He never slept. He ran all day. He'd drag everyone out in the park and make them run with him and march around. He was grandiose as hell.
He took on the monopolies in America.
He took on the monopolies. You're right. But he also was a hunter. See, all you are you an anti-gun guy?
No.
He was the first president to start national parks. He was the first.
He also had terrible business sense and left the taxpayers holding the bag on a gigantic cattle farm in North Dakota. You know about that?
How dare you?
He's my idol too. Oh, but he had some terrible outings before
he decided
he was a law and order guy and became a police commissioner.
I used to ride my bicycle to Sagamore Hill when I was.
I would love to do that. Yeah. I'm really obsessed about the guy.
He was brilliant beyond brilliant.
What I'm saying is you guys are getting so specific doctory, and the public just generalizes
I understand
things.
That, Bobby.
And it generalizes that she's not – nobody's thinking she's the picture of health. She's a 35-year-old woman. And what you're describing is the ideal of health for her anyone.
I'm saying if any 7-year-old walk in the door with this constellation of problems – eyebrows would be up like, whoa,
right. Hey,
this is unusual, highly unusual. And why? Why
is no one else paying attention to it then? Why did Sanjay Gooch just gloss over it? Why did Dr. Oz gloss over it? Why does everyone in media just gloss over it then? If it's so knowledgeable, doctors would know how abnormal this biology and this medical history is.
What happened when I brought it up?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
So all the other doctors are scared to comment. That's weird.
That's not weird. It's predictable. It's a very complex situation, and I take offense at you saying I'm doctory. I'm every man's doctor. This guy's
no.
But
you guys are going back and forth about the medicines hypothyroid and all this kind of stuff. And basically, most Americans are looking at them and saying, yeah, I could vote for her
Let's just still it down. He's got standard run-of-the-mill medical stuff, standard run-of-the-mill stuff, particularly for a big overweight businessman. Yeah. I mean, we do a million of those. And they do okay, and they're, you know, they whatever. If she came in the door, we'd be like, oh my God, who's managing this? Why? Why did they make these choices and what's going on? This is highly unusual, highly dangerous, properly managed will be great. But man, you are walking on a razor's edge managing this constellation of problems.
Right.
And so as a physician, you look at that and go, okay, now what they made this choice. I don't agree with that. I think they're taking unnecessary risk. They're not practicing good medicine here. And why? Why for the person that's running for the presidency, why can't she get the best possible care? It's my only question.
With McCain, when his 6,000, did you go through it, Bruce?
Me? Yeah. I wasn't invited, unfortunately.
It was all about his skin cancers, though, wasn't it?
He had melanoma, right?
Yeah, it was just all about the skin cancer stuff. And so.
So before, I don't know why this is getting so much attention, because there's always been old people run for president. No one's ever brought these kind of subjects up that, oh my God, they're not releasing. They are releasing cottage cheese.
I think you're right. It's back to the either or stuff, because I think the people that pushed something, and I just said casually out on the radio when I'd said something similarly about Trump a couple days before, the or pushed it out, the either reacted, and that's where you get all this consternation.
And you never got this before with Bush 1? Bush 1 seemed old to me and unhealthy.
He wasn't this old when he took office, I don't believe, was he?
Really?
I also wasn't a doctor yet.
Yeah. <Bush 1>. Really?
This is, what, 80?
88.
Oh, I was. Okay.
Okay, so I look at our presidents. We've had
that's Bush 2, right?
We've had two.
Wait a minute. I can't remember when they all.
Bush 1 was 88, I believe.
Okay. Yeah, that's right.
Reagan was back. 88. We've actually had three. We've had three middle-aged people, and the rest, since Kennedy, all old people.
Well, but that's the population is aging, too, and we're living
so
longer. We're living
did we
better
look
longer.
Into Nixon's no, but, medical history
yeah, here's the deal.
Much.
Hillary has just a very concerning medical record, and she is, if she had just come forward and been more transparent on this, there would have been concern, but not the level of scrutiny that she's receiving. It appears that the tangled webs we weave. It's just been a little bit lack of transparency there. And she has more medical issues in her past than anyone that's ever run for president, even Kennedy.
Okay, well, that's what you should have opened the show with.
Well, excuse me.
Because that says it all.
Excuse me.
Seriously, that? that concise. That she has the most and scary and health
obscure
stuff.
Obscure problems.
Yeah, transverse sinus thrombosis. Yeah, I mean, I was at the ER this morning. I'm talking, asking the guys about these things, and they're like, "Hey, we're ER docs. What do you, you know, does it? Those are very unusual syndromes." And it's like I said, somebody comes, I see her start to pass out. I, in my mind, jump up. Oh my God, they're going to get an ambulance. And it's infection, infarction, you know, malignancy. There's some basic things. And it didn't, doesn't, it's like it, you're stopping logical progression of medical treatment. It just, it's like we're hiding something. I'm thinking, what's going on here?
What's going on was in my head. And what's going on in a situation where, man, these decisions are really important for her. Really important.
Right. And medicine
is... They may be doing it right, by the way. They may be doing it right. I don't know.
See,
I'm
here's
the
thing. If you come in and you say, I got a headache, right? Mm. So then the way doctors think, there's about 20 different things, and you go from the most likely and serious down the line. But if you just leave it at that, if you're reporting to the press, oh, a headache, then, wow, you have to entertain 20 things. Then
we all go, whoa. What other evidence is there of what else this might be?
Right. Now, if it's her, it's like, okay, she had this and this and this. Well, if they would just give a little more information, I would say, okay, it's probably just this. But if you have not enough information, there are 20 different things you have to entertain. Drew brought up some of those things, and because it was not acceptable, I think, politically, they're going to roast you. But it was her own fault in not disclosing more information, because you could have ruled out more things and said, okay.
And then, by the way, they've since answered a lot of that stuff. They've answered it appropriately. And I was like, okay, I don't agree with some of this. At least all I want to know is they're thinking about it for this poor woman. Please be thinking about these things carefully. Because I can't fault people for making a call. When I was training residents, I always go, look, you may make the wrong call. I can't fault you for that. But you better know what you're going to do. You better expect it, what's going to happen if it's wrong, and what you're going to do if it is wrong. If you don't, I will crucify you.
You know what's weird about America? I was arrested for solicitation to kill the president, right? I was.
Which president?
Bush won. But let me tell you something.
That's the best thing ever.
I'm showing you the difference in America in 20 years.
Oh, my God.
The record company stood behind me. They got a great lawyer for me. I got out. I testified in a grand jury. Everything got resolved. My employer did not throw me under the bus. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Fire me. Drop me. And now I'm wondering, after what's happened to Drew, is this going to happen in businesses all across America, where if the owner-operators are Hillary or Trump-ish, and their employers are
you.
The opposite, are
you.
They going to start to be terminated from their jobs?
It's the social media world where the...
Do you follow me, Bruce?
Yes, I do. Listen.
Absolutely.
It's the social media world where the beheading of the day, where the mob beheads, is they must lose a job. And all you've got to do to lose your job is not please the crowd. And Brian Williams, who told a little fib, off with his head. There's millions of things like that now where people...
But I'm talking about every day, all the middle, businesses.
Dude, you wanted to kill the
America.
President. That's not an everyday thing.
But my employer didn't fire me.
But if that made the headlines, like,
and social media
picked it up, they would have cut. They would thrown you under the bus.
Gone. That's the point, is that we have this weird McCarthyism-like mentality. Where people
so
are
it's
getting
gonna, what you're saying is it's going to start happening. If Trump wins the presidency, Hillary, Bernie people that work for Trump supportive people, those Trump supportive people could terminate employment because, hey, you're not right, or vice versa. Clinton.
I think that's already happening.
Oh, my God. We can't live in a country like that.
I agree
that.
With you.
Where are you moving, Mexico or Canada?
No.
Florida or Germany?
Brazil if they get the Zika out of there.
Just don't have any more kids. You have enough kids.
Well, congratulations.
Time to wrap this up. Signs are all the way.
All right.
Guys, very interesting. Thank you so much. As always, a reminder that Bergamet, we heard from Dr. Ehrlich here, Play Your Own Pause Productions, courtesy of doctor.com. We'd like to hear from you there. Also, a reminder of the Aloe House, alohouse.com.
Yeah, Aloe House, Malibu.
Bob's Place.
Wow.
Yeah.
The affordable treatment in Malibu. Bruce, imagine that.
I got a problem.
You should start publishing. Listen, data right now, Bob, on abstinence needs to be reported because people are too crazy with what they're reporting. Well, we have less drinking days.
Well,
report
no, you know what they're doing is medically managed. They want to change the psych meds.
I just saw an abstinence versus controlled drinking study. I'll have to talk to you about it after.
Oh, my God.
We will do that. Again, all the Dr. podcasts are listed on the website. We're planning to have the new newsletter going up, give you insights into topics and the new shows. We're going to spin off some new shows here, and we read all your emails. Please sign up at contact/doctor.com and tell us what is going on in your life. And with these new outlets, hopefully we'll have an opportunity to really address as many of these as we possibly can. We try to address emails, but again, we'll be setting up a new podcast soon with Dr. Bruce to get at some of these medical questions that have been raining in through the contact@doctor.com. We're going to call it Weekly Infusion. Subscribe at iTunes or tweet us all your thoughts and suggestions at This Life Podcast. Please do tell a friend. Thank you all for your support, and join us on a new journey into Weekly Infusion with Dr. Drew and Dr. Bruce. Yeah,
I'm looking forward to it.
Look out for that newsletter at drdrew.com.
Hit a wall right now. I need a miracle. Hurry up now. I need a miracle. Stranded, reaching out. I call your name, but you're not around. I say your name, but you're not around. I need you, I need you, I need you right now. Yeah, I need you right now. So don't let me, don't let me, don't let me,
don't let me down.
I think I'm losing my mind now. It's in my head, darling. I hope that you'll be here when I need you the most. So don't let me,
don't let me,
don't let me,
don't let me down.
Don't let me down, don't let me down. Oh no, no, don't let me down, down. I really thought that you were on my side, but now there's nobody by my side. Oh, I need you, I need you, I need you right now. Yeah, I need you right now. So don't let me, don't let me, don't let me down. I think I'm losing my mind. I think I'm losing my mind. It's in my head.